Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle. The Breakfast Brief on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. It's time now to take a look at the top headlines that investors will be paying attention to today. What are the potential implications of those headlines? On the line with me this morning is Vasu Menon, Executive Director, Investment Strategy for OCBC Bank. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. I'm very well. Thank you.
China, not so well, though, I think, as we put the spotlight on them. A slew of data from China yesterday, and it looks like it's a bit of a miss as far as industrial production and retail sales data is concerned. What are your thoughts on it? What was your reaction?
Well, you know, a little bit of a surprise. I mean, I think the market expected a slight improvement in July compared to June, but clearly the economy is being weighed down by the COVID lockdowns and also the deepening property, you know, downturn. And I think as long as China unfortunately maintains its zero COVID policy, it's hard to see the economy rebounding in a big way. I think the authorities are trying to stimulate the economy through monetary policy and fiscal policy. But nevertheless, you know, I think key overhang on the economy is clearly the zero COVID policy. You do see COVID flare-ups happening in China from time to time and lockdowns taking place, and that's affecting the manufacturing sector, the general economy. And I think that is an issue as far as China is concerned.
Actually, with regard to, I mean, you brought up the property situation, the real estate troubles that China is facing, I mean, potentially it could spill over into a couple of areas like asset management companies, steel producers for that matter, or construction firms. This problem has been dragging out for a couple of months now.
That's right. It's been dragging out for a couple of months. In fact, more than a couple of months, it's been dragging out for quite a while. Mm. You know, I think probably for more than a year or so, it's gotten worse in the last few months. And I think the good news is this. The Chinese government finally has come to recognize that there is an issue, you know, or rather they appear to be more prepared to step in now and do something about it. So they are helping with the situation. They have announced measures to provide, you know, some support to the property sector. But somehow the market feels that these measures may not be enough. But having said that, you know, it's possible that there could be further measures, you know, in the coming months that could provide more support to the property sector, and that could provide some relief, you know, for the economy as well as for investors, because the property sector has been a drag on the economy,
yeah.
You know, overhang on the markets. And, you know, but I think the good news is that the authorities recognize it. They know it's a big problem. Yeah. It's not an easy one to solve, but they're trying to resolve it, but they're taking gradual steps.
Yeah, there was a crackdown on these companies and their reliance basically for on debt for growth in that sense.
That's
the
right.
Home buyer's confidence, which is affected most right now, is the main issue that they're trying to deal with here. Vasu, still on China, the PBOC, yes, they surprised markets yesterday with a rate cut. We are looking at, 10 basis points, 2.75%. What does this mean?
Well, you know, Elliot, in all honesty, the rate cut was very small, 10 basis points.
Yeah.
It is more a signaling effect, you know, basically showing that the authorities are prepared to act if necessary, right? Or rather, it is necessary, and the signal is that, you know, the authorities will act, you know, and I think essentially down the road, if the situation doesn't improve, you could see more monetary policy stimulus, more rate cuts, and more fiscal policy stimulus as well coming out of China. And this rate cut took place not just because of the slew of economic data, the ones that you just spoke about at the beginning of the show, you know,
yeah.
Industrial production, not just because of those weak data, but also, if you recall, last week in China, I think they announced the July loans numbers, the credit numbers, and we saw a plunge in the credit numbers in July. So I think the authorities are trying to bring down rates to try and stimulate lending in the Chinese economy and hopefully help to boost the economy that way.
So let's say I'm just a regular, I'm not a full-on investor in that sense, just a casual one. And I'm looking at news out of the U.S. where they're doing this aggressive rate hike. There's this constant argument of when they're going to cool off. I'm looking at China, this 10 basis point rate cut. And the first thing that's on my mind is, okay, do I need to be worried about China's economy slowing down as well because they're starting to lock down people inside IKEA?
Well, Well, you know, I mean, the concerns about Chinese economy have been there.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, the rest of the world is starting to open up. And, you know, as a consequence, you know, they are seeing a boost from, you know, the reopening spending, the revenge spending that's taking place. You're not seeing the same thing happen in China because, you know, the Chinese authorities are focusing on zero COVID. And so that's affecting the economic prospects. So I think that's the reason why China is cutting the rates. I don't think, you know, it's something to be terribly alarmed about. In fact, you know, Elliot, one of our positive calls in terms of investment markets is China. We've got an overweight call on China because we feel that a lot of this negativity about China has been going on for the last 1.5 years or so. It's been priced in by the markets. So there's a difference between how the economy is doing and how the markets are doing. And if you look at how the markets have done, the Chinese stock markets have actually staged a very strong rebound since the middle of March this year.
How much, I mean, yesterday we had Tesla CEO Elon Musk tweet saying that they made 3 million cars and out of it, I think it's about 1 million that's out from Shanghai and the Gigafactory that has gone through various up and downs where lockdowns are concerned. Would you consider that part of the positive narrative as far as China's economy is concerned?
Well, you know, I think it is. You know, I mean, I think China is recognizing the fact that there are constraints to the economy and they're trying to address it. I mean, they're trying to, you know, gradually embrace COVID, you know, open up the economy, encourage more, you know, foreign companies to produce more in China. So I think, you know, it is. But, you know, with China, I think they are taking a very gradual approach. Anybody's expecting a big bang, positive news out of China, either from the corporate front or from regulators and, you know, authorities will not see that happening. I think they'll move gradually in the run-up to the NPC or the parliamentary elections at the end of this year.
Oh, yeah, there's that as well. And we often forget that they can afford to kind of take their time and pace themselves. Vasu, just a last bit, and this is on the flip side. Chinese U.S. listed stocks seem to be under pressure again. Overnight, there were some details as well where the tech giants were concerned, sharing details of the algorithms that they use, you know, the likes of Alibaba, Tencent, descriptions of their algorithms on certain products. What are you seeing in this space and what should investors watch out for here?
Well, you know, yeah, you know, this issue with, you know, Chinese companies listed on the U.S. stock market has been there for a while, right? The American regulators want access to audit papers of Chinese companies and the Chinese have been pushing back. It's been going on for the last 20 years, you know, which is why the U.S. enacted an act in December 2020 called the Holding Foreign Companies Accountable Act. And with that, you know, I think companies are required to open up their books. And the problem is that, you know, state-owned companies are reluctant to do that because they have access to very sensitive government data, and including companies like perhaps Alibaba, for example, where, you know, they've got very secretive business information they may not want to share. So it is possible that some of these companies may eventually choose to leave the U.S. stock market instead of sharing their sensitive data with U.S. regulators.
And that's where the Hong Kong market comes into play in that sense.
Precisely, you know, why some of them will eventually list in Hong Kong as well.
Yeah. I've been speaking with Vasu Menon, Executive Director Investment Strategy for OCBC Bank. As always, appreciate your time, appreciate your help. Take care, have a great day, yeah?
Thank you, Elliot. You too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.